and gentlemen, welcome to Faith Forward Baptist Church this evening. So good to see you all here. If you would please find your seats now, grab a hymnal, go to hymn number 101. Hymn number 101, Jesus Never Fails. Hymn number 101. Once you find your place together, we'll begin singing now. 101, Jesus Never Fails. Earthly friends may prove untrue, but Jesus never fails. Hymn number 101. Sing it out on that verse now. Earthly friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you, one who will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. Though the sky be dark and dim, piercing storm the gale, just remember He is near, and He will not fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. In life's dark and bitter hour, love will still prevail. Trust is ever.
Start to our singing this evening. We want to go before the Lord and ask a blessing on the service. So I've asked for the next Macintosh to release the purpose.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be gathered here tonight. Pray that you would just bless the singing and be with Pastor Anderson as he preaches to us later. Please just fill him with the power of your Holy Spirit and help us to have ears to hear. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Up to hymn number 401, number 401, Set My Soul Afire. Hymn number 401. Set my soul on fire in the word for thy holy word. Hymn number 401. Sing it out together now.
Set my soul on fire.
Yeah. go through our announcements together. If you don't have a bulletin, slip up your hand nice and high. We'll get to you with one. On the inside, we have our service time. Sunday mornings at 10:30 is our preaching service. Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 is our Bible study. This week we'll be in Psalm 86. We've got the soul winning times listed there below, as well as salvations and baptisms. And then we already took the yearbook photo this afternoon. Thanks for standing out there and cooking with us in the heat for those 5-10 minutes. And then below that, congratulations to the Sarrett family on the birth of baby Giuseppe Douglas, born on July 24th, 9 o'clock p.m., 9 pounds, 7 ounces. Mother and baby are doing well. Also, another prayer request. We're going to have this birth announcement next week, but please pray for Mrs. Denise Sock. She is actually in the hospital. She gave birth on the 15th, but she had complications, and so she's, I think she just got out of the ICU, though. I think she's doing better, but we definitely just want to be praying for her that that she makes a full recovery as quick as possible, get out of the hospital, get home, and start taking it easy at home with that baby. In fact, let's just pray quickly right now for her. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for our church assembled here tonight, Lord God, and we thank you that we can come to you with our prayers. Please just bless Mrs. Sock, Lord, and just give her a speedy recovery and give the doctors wisdom and just help her body to heal up and recover as fast as possible. Thank you so much for the successful birth and that the baby's doing well, Lord, and I pray that she would be restored to full health as soon as possible. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So her baby Sylvan, is doing well. We'll have a full birth announcement in the bulletin next week on that one. And then below that, we've got the Denver Soul Winning Marathon. That was cool. 13 soul winners had 13 salvations. And then out on the Navajo Nation Soul Winning Trip on Friday and Saturday, they had 24 soul winners with 24 salvations. And then it's almost like, you know, how many people go determines how many people get saved. And obviously the numbers don't usually work out that exactly, but it still is kind of a good lesson. More people participate, the more people get saved, right? I mean, obviously the more people that go out, we're not Calvinists. So we don't believe that there's this like set number of people and there's nothing we can do to change it. And just you're either going or you're not. No, we're out there pulling them out of the fire. And we're preaching the gospel to every creature, and our participation matters. And so, therefore, the more people get involved, the more people are going to get saved. That's just the way it works. And so, praise God for everybody at our church who is so involved in soul winning. Great job, everybody, with that. Got a good picture there on the back of, so, Blake, how was Blake's? Was this like a diner, or what is this? Burger. It was like a burger place? Was it pretty good? It was a fast food level.
Green chili burger.
Okay, green chili burger. All right, that must have been on the New Mexico side. I guess. Yeah. Okay. Green chili is a New Mexico thing. All right. Cool. Yeah. Sometimes when you're in these small towns, you take what you can get, but it's kind of a cool retro sign. And then this Thursday night, we're going to be having a Spanish board game night. So who thinks that you'll go to this on Thursday night? Who thinks you're going to go? Just so we can get a vague idea of how many, what's that? Starting at 5, but you can show up late, though, you know, because obviously people get off work and stuff, and we'll keep the party going for a few hours. So put them up nice and high if you plan on going. I just want to get a vague idea. All right, very good. And so that's going to be this Thursday night. All levels are invited to attend, but no English allowed. You can use a dictionary. You can use Google Translate. You can use those kind of training wheels, but we just don't want you using any English. You know, and you're not, and that includes, you're not allowed to say como se dice and then something in English. You're not allowed to do that either, okay? So you got to just, it's sink or swim, folks. And we'll play some fun board games, have some fellowship with the Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, hermanos. And so that's going to be fun on Thursday night. And then below that, of course, we have the coffee and donuts on the first Sunday of every month, as always. That's coming up next Sunday, so get here at 10 for that. And then, okay, here's another big one, okay? Don't miss this one. Jake's Unlimited, and this is on Tuesday, August 5th. So it's not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, and this is all day. So starting from 11 a.m., ending at 10 p.m., You just show up whenever you want, and you just give them the password, and you don't have to pay any money or anything. All of our church activities are always free because we want everybody to be able to participate. And so, you know, that includes just unlimited food, games, bowling, or you can only bowl once. And then unlimited laser tag, rides, whatever. It's a fun time. And so, obviously, because we have a very big church, anybody who comes at any time, like, you're not going to get there and be like, you know, where are all the Faithful Word people? Because, obviously, people are going to come throughout the day. The people that are available in the daytime, the homeschoolers and stay-at-homes, they can go in the morning and then it'll be less busy. You know, they can get first dibs on everything and food and bowling and whatever. And then other people will probably be getting off work later at night and showing up and you know, partying all the way until 10 p.m. or whatever at that unholy hour of 10 p.m. But the point is, I mean, I doubt anybody's going to just park it down there for 11 hours. But if you want to park it down there for 11 hours, you be my guest because it is just a flat rate. It's unlimited. So just show up. If you need the password, it's the same password as last time. If you need the password, come see me. Come see Brother Segura or whoever. It's been the same password for thousands of years, in fact. So anyway, so that's happening on August 5th. Mark the calendar for that. And then one other thing that didn't make it in the bulletin, but the first Friday soul winning. I know some of you have been participating with Brother Steve Tilson in the first Friday's soul winning events. That is still on for August. That's August 1st. And you meet at the Park Burton Bar, Phoenix Library at 6 p.m. And you can contact Brother Tilson for more details. You can come see me. I can give you his contact info, or you can go see him. Better yet, go to the source. And so that is coming up on Friday, August 1st. That's about it for announcements. Let's quickly tally up the soul winning for the past few days. So going back to Thursday, the 24th, anything to report? Gotcha. Okay, got it. All right, anything else from Thursday? How about Friday? Anything? Okay. Anything else from Friday? How about Saturday? Gotcha. Okay, Saturday. And then I guess we should put the totals from the events, make sure that those get logged in. So, of course, that was the 13 and the 24. Okay, and then how about today, Sunday? Brother Ian, 3 for the main group with Brother Ian. Got other groups. Boom, boom. Okay. Was that a 3? Okay. Any other groups from today? All right, very good. Keep up the great work on soul winning with that. Let's sing our next song. Come lead us.
All right, you should find the insert from your hymnal with the hymn entitled, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. If you don't have an insert, please raise your hand and you'll receive one. We'll sing it on that first verse together. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence Thy
Your hymnals now to hymn number 190, hymn number 190.
Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Hymn number 190. Sing this out together now. Hymn number 190. 190. Sing it out now.
There is never a day so
at this time, we'll pass our offering plates around. As the plates go around, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4, as we always do, we'll read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse number 1. Follow along with Brother Brock as he reads.
1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator.
Father in heaven, thank you once again for the opportunity to hear your word preached this evening. We ask again that you would bless Pastor Anderson, give him the fullness of the Spirit to preach your word unto us, Lord. We also pray, Lord, that you would remind us each and every day, Lord, that we are and were made for your pleasure. We pray, Lord, that we lead lives that are pleasing to you each and every day. We ask now, Lord, that you'd bless this time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Men, this evening I'm preaching on the subject of tattlers and busybodies. Tattlers and busybodies. And in this chapter, we have a great definition of what a busybody is, because it says in verse number 15 there, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. So being a busybody is getting involved in other people's business, stuff that doesn't concern you, stuff that's not about you, and you just kind of always want to be in the midst of all the drama, and you're gossiping, and you're backbiting, and you're whispering, and you're slandering, and you're tattling, and you're tale-bearing. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. It's a little bit of a spin-off from this morning sermon, because I did touch on this a little bit in my morning sermon on leadership. But if you would flip over to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. I showed you that in 1 Peter just to show you that when we say busybody, we're talking about busybodies in other men's matters, right? Getting involved in stuff that doesn't concern you. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. This is talking about women who are, and you know, just to give you the total context here, women who've been widowed, so they were married, they're no longer married, and you know, so now they're just living by themselves. And it says in verse 13, withal they learn to be idle. Idle means you're sitting around and not doing anything, you're bored, you don't have anything going on. Withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And I think we all know what tattlers are, because when we were growing up, we would use this term all the time. When I was a kid, we would call it being a tattletale. Not a tattler, but a tattletale. And the Bible uses similar words, because it uses the word tattler, but then it also says a tale bearer. Those kind of get combined into tattletale. And a tattletale is someone who delights in telling you about bad things that someone else did. So someone else did something bad, and they're just so happy, and they come with a big smile on their face to tell you about the sins that were committed by someone else, bad things that someone else did. They enjoy being the bearer of that bad news, and this person is known as a tattletale, right? And we all remember that from when our childhood, and so This is not a foreign concept to us. But what the Bible's explaining here is that women who are not busy doing the right things with their life, staying busy with something good and godly and productive, in this case, taking care of their husbands, taking care of their children, well, then they could fall into this trap of becoming idle. And of course, we know that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And here's the thing about the word Satan. It literally means opponent, enemy, adversary. And the word devil literally means accuser, slanderer, blasphemer. That's what these words literally mean. So Satan, the devil, is by definition an accuser. And of course, we can even get these definitions without, you know, researching the etymology of those words. We just read a King James Bible and we can see that our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion. And we would see that the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, was cast down. And we know that's a reference to the devil. And so the devil's the accuser. He's the biggest slandering tattletale of all time. He's the tattletale par excellence because he accuses the brethren before God day and night. And so women who aren't busy doing the right things around the house could have a tendency to become a tattletale, to become a busybody, to become a slanderer. And that's why the New Testament is constantly warning women to watch out for this, not to be false accusers, not to be involved in these things, to stay busy with the right things. And so it says that they wander from house to house. Obviously, today we don't have to wander physically from house to house because you can just pick up the phone and start gossiping and being a tattler. You could just hop on the internet and start tattling. You could hop on your little Facebook group and all your social media, and you could misuse those things and use them to be a tattler and a busybody and so forth. So the solution to this, it says in verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary, we're talking about Satan, to speak, or actually in this case, sorry, the adversary could be like people who are just against Christianity, against church, and it could also be Satan. And then it says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says that if you're a tattler, if you're a busybody, if you're sitting around and gossiping as a woman when you should be doing something righteous and productive, you are following Satan because of the fact that that's what Satan wants you to do. Now, some people are really obvious about the way they follow Satan, like, you know, they're biting the heads off of bats and singing heavy metal music and calling themselves the Prince of Darkness or whatever. And, you know, so obviously there are people out there that make it pretty obvious, you know, they're out there yelling, Hail Satan or whatever. But you know what? When you're sitting there and attacking and cutting down pastors, men of God, good people, righteous people, and you're spreading lies and slander and unsubstantiated gossip, and you're falsely accusing people, then you are also following the devil. Okay, even if you're not being as overt about it, because the devil, he is all about slander. He's all about unrighteous judgment and talebearing. We're going to get into the details of what these things are. But if you would flip over to Proverbs chapter number 26. Proverbs chapter number 26. I'm starting out by just kind of laying a foundation here. And obviously, this particular passage deals with women. Of course, men could fall into this exact pattern. And in fact, we have another scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 that specifically talks about men being busybodies. Of course, 1 Peter 4 was also talking about men being busybodies. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the busybodies there, you know what their problem was? The Bible said they're working not at all, meaning that they don't have a job. And so because they don't have a job, they get into being a busybody. So you can see that both of these pastors are saying the same thing. Like women who aren't busy around the house doing their job, as it were, could get idle and tempted into becoming just this drama queen and busybody. Men who don't have a job could also fall into the same thing. So the moral of the story is we got to stay busy with the right things so that we're not just sitting around indulging in celebrity drama or even worse, church drama as far as like, you know, just people's personal lives and stuff like that. Okay. We don't need to know all of the scuttlebutt and all of the dirt on our brothers and sisters in Christ about their personal lives and about their marriages and about their problems financially. It's that, you know, we don't need to know all that stuff about people, right? Amen. Now, people end up telling me about all these things because I'm a pastor. So I'm constantly being told about all these situations. But here's the thing. I definitely don't go seeking these things out. And a lot of times when people talk to me, I'll say, hey, I've heard enough here. Because it's like sometimes you only need to hear a little bit and you already know what the answer is. You have the right judgment. Once the right judgment is there and the advice is there, it's like, I don't need to hear more. It's not like just, ooh, give me all the sordid details. Right? Look, people come and tell me this garbage. And you know what I try to do? I try to just forget about it and push it out of my mind. So that when I see that person 6 months later, 9 months later, I don't want to be thinking about their worst moments. I want to be thinking about the good things and the good times and the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. And so, you know, when you're not even in a position where you're in authority and you have, look, when you're in authority, you have to deal with this stuff. Why would you, when you're not in authority, just want to go out and just seek out involvement in these type of situations? It's not your place. Stay out of it. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says this, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So it's people going around and repeating stuff that keeps the fire going of strife and conflict and discord in the church. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. So let's talk about a couple of these verses here. So verse 22 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. What is a talebearer? What is a tale? A story. What is a bearer? Someone who's carrying it. It's when you are just repeating scuttlebutt, you're repeating gossip, you're repeating slander that you've heard. And often people will just hear something and it's not substantiated. It hasn't been proven. We don't know if it's for sure. It's secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand information. And then you just repeat that stuff. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Hey, did you hear about these people? And you're just repeating these things in order to tear down other people, hurt their reputation, make them look bad, or whatever the motive is. Or just you just do this for kicks or something. And the Bible says that this is bad. And it says that it's someone who has a wicked heart who indulges in this. Because look at the next verse. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. So a potsherd is something that's worthless, right? So think about pottery, and then you shatter it, and you have a chunk of a broken piece of pottery. It's completely worthless. You can't melt it down and reuse it or anything. It's just, it's pointless. It's worthless. And so what people do is people will always decorate this particular sin by covering it in silver. So they have this worthless item, this worthless gossip, worthless slander, worthless tattling that they're doing. But then what they're going to do is they're going to cover it in silver and make it look nice. Like, oh, this is a prayer request. You know, I'm just really looking for prayer for these people. That's the silver to cover the potsherd. And that's why it says, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. So people are motivated by evil motives, such as hatred for their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they will cover it up with something beautiful, silver over a potsherd. That's what the Bible's saying. And so talebearing is often disguised as a prayer request. Okay. Here's what the Bible says about talebearing. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So a lot of people just have this idea of, well, everything that's true should just be brought out into the open. Okay, well, here's the thing about that is that it's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, because a lot of things are just people's personal business, their own private matters. That's why the Bible says if your brother sins against you, the very first thing that you should try to do is just go and tell your brother his fault between you and him alone. Why tell him between you and him alone? Because the point there is then less damage is done. You don't hurt you don't hurt anyone's reputation. You don't cause any, you know, wounds or drama or tale-bearing or gossiping or anything. You just kind of resolve it as peacefully and quietly as you can, one-on-one. And then if that doesn't work, you bring one or two people with you, and you're still keeping it pretty much contained to a couple of people. And then bringing it before the entire church is a worst-case scenario. Like, if you can't resolve things another way, then you deal with them publicly. But first, you try to deal with these things one-on-one. Why? The whole point is that just because something happened doesn't mean that everybody should know about it. Because here's the thing. Every single one of us is a sinner. Every single one of us has had our ugly moments or bad times or times that we were not at our finest hour. And if you're honest with yourself, you could think of a lot of times like that in your own life. We all could. Would you want that video of you at your worst moment just broadcast all over the world? Well, it's true. It happened. No, I mean, what's the point, right? And especially, what would be the point of something that you did 3 months ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, just basically just putting that on display for the whole world? Like, what's the point? You know, now look, obviously, there are certain times and situations where certain people need to be exposed. You know, people that are wicked frauds or something, and you know, somebody's ripping people off, somebody's a con man, somebody's a serial adulterer, serial killer, or whatever. You know, obviously, there are times when people need to be exposed. But, like, does every little sin that people do or every time somebody acts a fool, does that really need to just be broadcast to the whole world, repeated? And here's the thing. If someone does commit a sin and then that person repents of that sin, then shouldn't we allow that person to live it down and just never bring it up again? Amen. Right? Like, here's the thing. There's a difference between somebody who's living in sin right now. What about something that someone did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 5 weeks ago, 5 days ago? You know, if it's resolved, if it's dealt with, if that person has confessed and forsaken that, why are we still talking about it, right? Let it go. Let people live it down. And so what does the Bible say? Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, things that were supposed to be kept quiet, things that were private, things that were between two people. They just reveal that stuff. And the Bible says this is wicked. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Okay? They conceal the matter. And people be like, oh, it's a cover-up. Folks, cover-ups are like, that's like when there's a crime or something. You know, underage girls and even adult women were being kidnapped and human trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. You know, if those people aren't brought to justice who were involved in that, that's a cover-up. Okay, but people committing sins that are private or things that are in a family or in a group of friends or whatever, and they've been dealt with and they're over. You know, what does the Bible say? The Bible says the man that's of a faithful spirit conceals the matter and just says, hey, let's just keep that. Let's just fix this and keep it between me and you. Keep it in the family. Keep it in this group. And things don't all need to be broadcast to the whole world. Now, obviously, there are times when people need to be church disciplined. That is by nature a public matter. Church discipline is by very definition public because, and if you would, I wasn't going to turn there, but let's just turn there. Why not? Go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, church discipline matters are by definition public. Now, it doesn't mean that they need to be live streamed to the entire world on the internet. And typically, whenever we've dealt with church discipline, we were never live streaming. There's always some idiot that's going to pull out their cell phone and film it and upload it to the internet. But that doesn't mean that we did that or that we approve of that or that that's how we would handle it. We always turn the camera off and do those things. But we still do them as a church. We still talk about those things as a church because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, you know, and this is a guy who's in fornication and he's unrepentant. And he's continuing in this sin with his father's wife. And then it says in verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So notice the operative words here. In verse 4, it says that this happens when they're gathered together. So this is being brought before the entire church. So it's being made public of, hey, we had to excommunicate this person. We had to throw this person out. Here's why. Here's the reason. It's all on the up and up, and it's done publicly. But then here's the thing. If we church discipline someone, then the goal ultimately in a perfect world is always going to be restoration, that people would get right. And we've had tons of people, you know, we're not going to bring up who they are, who over the years, who we have church disciplined, and then they ended up getting things right, coming back, and being great church members and being members in good standing. And here's the thing. The fact that that person was thrown out should never be brought up again. And whenever anybody brings up to me, like, oh, yeah, remember so-and-so, I'm always just like, hey, don't bring that up again. Oh, but it's a good example or whatever. I'm like, find another example. Because if somebody had been thrown out of the church in the past and then that person has gotten right and we've restored that person to fellowship, we should not just keep reminiscing. Hey, you remember that time when, so-and-so got thrown out, No, that's not something that we're going to reminisce about. We need to push that out of our minds, forgive and forget, and let people live those things down and never bring them up again. And that's another reason why they're not broadcast to the world on the internet, because the internet doesn't forget. So we as a church, we might have to come together and pass judgment on someone. But you know what? We want to help that person, want to restore that person. And if that person's restored, then we want to just forget that it ever happened and move on. That's the right way to handle that. But what I want to point out here is just that obviously this is done in the group, because they're all gathered together when they're chastising the fornicator or the drunk or railer or whatever, okay? The Bible also says in Proverbs 10:18, and if you would turn to Leviticus 19, while you're turning there, Proverbs 10:18 says, He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. And so people who slander will often hide their hatred with lying lips. These talebearers, they cover that potsherd in silver dross. And I'm going to bring this up again, how it's often disguised as a prayer request. And I've seen this my entire life. Hey, we really need to pray for so-and-so. And then we bring up all the drama about so-and-so's life. Keep that to yourself. Because you know what? You can pray for that person by yourself to God. I think it'd be better if just you by yourself pray for that person. Yeah, but we got to get everybody praying. No, that is you just wanting to gossip and get more people involved. And you know what? You can prove that these people have wrong motives with these so-called prayer requests. And I'm going to bring up a specific wording from a little prayer request that I just saw online. I'm urgently asking for prayer. Listen to this exact wording. And this broad is on there asking for prayer about a situation where there's strife in a marriage, which is a tragedy, which is sad, which is terrible. And guess what? We believe in the sanctity of marriage around here. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Amen. We don't want to see marriages ripped apart for any reason. Okay, we want people to stay married and do right, even in the worst of situations, for better or for worse. That's what we believe. That's where we stand. And, you know, back to this morning's sermon, as a leader, that's something that I've made crystal clear for the last 20 years, and we've communicated that. God hates divorce. Amen. And that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder, it's till death do us part. So it's a tragic situation. But, you know, this third party has a prayer request about the situation. And I just want to read you this one quote. You may have seen his numerous prayer requests circulating. So I got prayer request. Now, this to me seems like a battle of prayer requests. Because it's like, well, he's doing prayer requests. Well, I got a prayer request for you, buddy. Now, it gives kind of a whole new meaning to the word a prayer warrior. You know, and basically what this broad is admitting is she's basically saying that prayer requests are a tool of propaganda. He's using it as a propaganda tool, and now I'm going to use it as a propaganda tool. Folks, this is an abuse of prayer. It's not what prayer is for. Okay, it's a lie. You know, and somebody gave a quote, and I've heard this quote my whole life too, a quote that said, you know, prayer is something that people talk a lot about and do very little of, unfortunately. And give me a break. It's just so obvious what you're doing when you just list someone's sins, list everything bad about this word, just write a propaganda slander against someone and then call it a prayer request. No, you're just a tattler. You're a busybody. You're a talebearer. And here's the thing about that is that the things in this diatribe, so-called prayer request, you know, these facts are disputed. You know, these are not things that everyone agrees upon. This is hearsay, third-hand information that's disputed being stated as fact in a prayer request. Now, look down, if you would, at Leviticus chapter 19. And, you know, listen to my sermon tonight and what I'm showing you from the Bible, because these principles are biblical that I'm giving you tonight, okay? It says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." And then it goes on to say, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people." But let's back up to verse 15. Not doing unrighteousness in judgment. What does it mean to not respect persons in judgment? Here's what it means. It means that just because somebody's a rotten person doesn't mean that they're guilty of what they're being accused of in this particular case. And just because somebody's a really good person doesn't mean that they're not guilty of the crime that they're being accused of, because you have to understand that obviously bad people do good things, good people do bad things. You can't just say, "Well, I don't like this guy, so anytime anybody says something bad about him, I'm going to just automatically believe it." Right? Like, I've heard people make all kinds of false accusations against pastors that I don't like, against damnable heretics, but I'm always like, "Well, no, there's no proof of that. That's not substantiated." I'm not just going to say, "Oh, I don't like that guy, so it must be true." Okay, and here's what we have to understand, that in a court of law, they actually have standards for evidence, but on the internet, there are no standards for evidence. See, I can't go to a court and get up and testify with secondhand, third-hand, you know, fourth-hand information, because the attorneys are going to say, "Objection, hearsay." Now, I want to break this down, and because for some reason, people don't understand what this word firsthand means, or what the word secondhand means, or what the word third hand means. Okay, so I'm gonna need a married couple to come up here as a volunteer. We got a married couple. Is your wife ready to roll? Because she's holding the baby. Yeah, she can bring the baby. I mean, you just got voluntold. I said I need a married couple. Are you coming up? All right. Wow. Okay. All right. I need a married couple, and then I need a woman to come up and be my busybody up here. Who wants to? If you pretend to be one, then it means you're not one in real life, because otherwise you wouldn't have to pretend. Any takers? No woman wants this part at all. Come on, help me. Ah, come on. All right, Gigi. That's the spirit. I love it. She can't. She must not be a busybody, because if she's pretending, then she can't be one in real life. That's the way I look at it. Okay. So, Harold, let's have you two switch places real quick. I just want to break things down and make them real clear. Come stand over here real quick, okay? So, let's do some counting, shall we? Okay, you tell her something. Okay, hold up your hand, because we're talking about first hand. See, this is hand, okay? He hands her a piece of information. She has firsthand information from what he told her. At least she can say firsthand, "This is what he said." Okay, right? But, you know, he's just saying it. So, okay, but let's just say at a minimum, he tells her something. And now if she tells her, are we still firsthand by anyone's counting? Because at a minimum, she has firsthand information because she heard it from him. She tells her, what are we at now? Secondhand? Okay, now she goes on the internet and tells me and the whole stinking world what she said that he said. Does everybody understand? So she's telling me what she said he said. So this is third hand information. So let me ask you something. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you for that demonstration. I mean, does everybody see how the math works here? He tells her, she tells her, and then she tells the world. That's third hand minimum. Is it righteous? Is it godly for me to just believe third-hand junk that I read on the internet? Should women be posting third-hand junk on the internet? Oh, but I know it's true. No, okay, it's third-hand. You heard from someone who heard from someone. I mean, literally, and I'll give you another example that, I'm just naming names because I don't even care. I firsthand sat there and heard Jared Pazarnski teaching geocentricity and saying that he didn't think that the earth was spinning. And I sat there and listened to him argue that for 20 minutes straight. I turned around and canceled him as a guest preacher and said, I'm not going to subject my church members to ever listening to anyone this stupid. Amen. Science that was debunked 500 years ago. Geocentricity is the gateway drug to the flat earth. It's absurd. And it was debunked literally 500 years ago. Okay. I heard that conversation firsthand. I was there firsthand. That's the decision I made. I'm telling you, you're getting it secondhand now. You're getting it secondhand, so you can take it or leave it. But I was there. I heard it firsthand. And there were several other people that heard it firsthand. You know, my kids were there, and they overheard the conversation because it got kind of loud. And there were probably 20 people standing around to hear bits and pieces of this conversation. But then we have, you know, Luke Vincent going online and saying to us, well, I heard from Pastor Jimenez that he doesn't believe in geocentricity. So that's Pazarnski telling Jimenez, telling Luke Vincent, telling us. And then Luke Vincent said, quote, this is firsthand. He literally said, this is my firsthand account because it's coming from Pastor Jimenez. And I'm thinking to myself, if it's coming from Pastor Jimenez, how can it be firsthand? Because you heard from Pastor Jimenez, who heard from Pazarnski. You know, it's just like that's like people don't understand what this word firsthand means. They literally say, I have firsthand information. No, you don't. You have firsthand information if you were there. If you were not there, you do not have firsthand information. Anything else is hearsay. See, I can get up and testify right now to what I heard firsthand. I was there. I witnessed it. I have firsthand information. Do with it what you will. Take it or leave it. Believe it. Don't believe it. You know, I issued him a challenge because he didn't deny believing in it. But all of his little stands came out and said, oh, you know, he didn't believe in that. He doesn't believe that's not true. It's not true. So I issued a challenge. I said, okay, Pazarnski, come out publicly and say that the earth is spinning. And of course, he didn't, because he can't, because I'm not lying, because I'm telling the truth about what I saw firsthand, what I observed, a 20, 30-minute lecture on geocentricity from Bro. So does everybody understand? And the reason I'm explaining this is because we live in a day where there's all kinds of fake news and lies and slander, and everybody's just spouting their third-hand hearsay on the internet. And, you know, basically what he's doing is calling me a liar with third-hand information. Now, look, if Pastor Jimenez wants to get up and call me a liar and say that I'm lying about sitting and listening to Pazarnski lecture me for 20 minutes about geocentricity and argue with me as I explain to him why the earth is spinning, and he argued with me and lectured me for 20 minutes about that, if he wants to get up and call me a liar, then he can do that, can't he? But I don't see him doing that. I don't hear him doing that. I'm just getting this little third hand from his minions. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Folks, in the day of the internet, we need to understand that we cannot believe what we read on the internet. Amen. And just assume that it's true. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. And if it's about someone that you don't like, don't just automatically believe it. That is unrighteousness in judgment. That is respecting persons in judgment. If somebody says something bad about someone that you don't like, that doesn't make it true. Okay, what you know is true is stuff that you have firsthand knowledge of, or if there's credible evidence, credible witnesses, you know, you can make that judgment. But don't say, oh, this is first, I have it firsthand. Because I'm getting it from the guy who got it from the guy. And that's for, it's like, what? Oh, my wife told me something firsthand. No. If my wife tells me something, that's secondhand. Because if she witnessed something and then tells me about it and then I tell you about it, then I got that information. It's secondhand information because I did not get that myself. And it would not be admissible in any court of law. So basically, you have these people talking about stuff that they weren't present for, that they don't have any firsthand information about. And here's the thing. As I said, if Pastor Jimenez wants to get up and call me a liar, then he can do that whenever he wants. But I don't see him doing that because I'm not lying, because he knows it's true because he was there and I was there and several other people were there and a whole bunch of other people were there. But then you have these people that weren't there that are going to come and bring their third hand information. Folks, it's madness to just believe whatever people type. And I see it constantly. People will type something on the internet bad about someone. And then people are just like, oh, man, that figures. Yeah. It's like, what? Whoa, where's the proof? And it doesn't matter whether they're our friends or our enemies. These things require proof. You can't just say, oh, well, I like this guy, so therefore I'm not going to believe the gossip about him. But this person I don't like, I'm just going to believe everything people say about that person, substantiated or not. That's garbage. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 14. You stay there in Leviticus, but it says, the simple believeth every word. Right? The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Okay? And so at the end of the day, if you just believe everything people type on the internet, you're being a simpleton. And then if you repeat that to other people, now you're a talebearer. If you're just repeating scuttlebutt and things, and I don't care if they're dressed up as a prayer request. Okay, because that is disingenuous and evil. And by the way, let me say this too. In this, and here's the thing, I don't want to get involved in this situation. I'm not trying to say anything about the situation, except for the fact that people shouldn't believe blindly third-hand trash that they read on the internet about anyone. Every single thing in that post should be disregarded because it's all third-hand gossiping trash. And look, I'm not saying that it's not true. I guarantee you that some of the things in there are not true, but, you know, some of those things may be true. Many of them may be true. The point is, we don't know if it's true or not because it's third hand. And so therefore we should ignore it. It should not be admitted into evidence. See, if we're in a courtroom, here's what they'd say. I'm going to ask the jury to just completely forget about that testimony that was just said because it was third hand. I'm going to ask the jury to just completely disregard that last statement. Does everybody understand? That's what they would do. They would just say, you know, we're not saying it's true. We're not saying it's not true. We're just saying, don't listen to it. Disregard it. It's trash. It's meaningless. And the person who's doing it is a talebearer. Lying, exaggerating, you know, and just getting involved in something that is not her place. Go if you would, or stay there in Leviticus. It says in verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So there are several things here. You know, we shouldn't just harbor hatred and bitterness toward other people. If we have a problem with someone, we should go to that person and say it to their face. Tell that person their fault. Actually have a reason. Actually have Bible. Actually have receipts. Otherwise, we should just leave it alone and not just go up and down as a talebearer. And the Bible says that we should judge righteous judgment. And here's the thing about that is that, you know, again, getting involved in people's marriages is always going to be a messy thing. Let me just give you a little hint. People who are getting divorced will always try to demonize the other side. And they may kind of exaggerate or blow things out of proportion or make things up in order to bolster their case because they're getting a divorce and they want to justify that and they want to, you know, demonize the other side. Here's another thing that I thought was funny, too. Is that, you know, this guy was accused of kidnapping his child. And I'm thinking to myself, this is, if he's the biological father and he has legal custody of the child, then how is that kidnapping? And you know what's funny? These are the same people that don't believe that Miriam was kidnapped, right? But then a biological father who has legal custody of his child takes it home and it's kidnapping. Is that what the state of Arizona thinks? Is that what the law says? No, that's just your made up opinion. I mean, I don't know. Kidnapping your own biological child that you have legal custody of, I guess that's sort of like stealing your own car or raping your own wife. Right? You kidnap your own child, steal your car, rape your wife, eat your own food. I'm like, what is that? But I'll tell you where this is coming from. Let me tell you where this is coming from. This garbage doctrine that teaches that women can separate from their husbands when they have a problem with their husband. And here's the thing. The law doesn't recognize this. You know what the law recognizes? Actual, like, divorce or a legal separation or something. But we have all these fundamental Baptists, and I've seen this my entire life, that teach this hypocritical garbage doctrine of, well, we're against divorce, but you can get separated. Look, and I've been in churches where the pastor tells the wife, oh, you can separate from your husband because he's doing X, Y, and Z, the sin. So, oh, he's on drugs, separate. Oh, unfaithful, separate. Looking at porno, separate. You know, he's mean to you, separate. Or whatever. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, let not the wife depart from her husband. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Okay. And so it's this hypocritical, like pharisaical, well, you can't get a divorce, but you can get separated. You know, it's like a way to kind of reconcile by getting separated or whatever. It's bullcrap is what it is. And we don't believe in it. Right. We're never going to be into this separation doctrine. Amen. Okay. You stay married is what you do. And look, if you're going to get divorced, then why don't you just call it what it is, divorce? Why don't you say, I'm leaving my husband? Why don't you just admit that you are doing wrong instead of trying to decorate it as this little fundamental Baptist version of getting separated, separation? It's baloney. And here's the moral of the story. Don't marry a trash person if you don't want to be married to a trash person. Because look, I'm not saying that there aren't some really rotten husbands out there. There are rotten people out there. There are rotten wives out there. But let me tell you something. There are some guys that are rotten guys. What they've done is morally reprehensible, morally repugnant, disgusting, wicked, wrong, and civil. But you know what? At the end of the day, though, you know what? That doesn't really change right and wrong about the fact that marriage is marriage, custody is custody, right is right, wrong is wrong. Your husband, maybe your husband is a big jerk. I'm not saying that your husband's a great guy. Maybe your husband's the biggest jerk on the planet. But you know what? You married him and he's your husband and you swore to be with him until death do you part. That's what you're going to do. That's what we used to believe in this country. That's what we used to believe in the house of God. Some of us still believe it and still teach it. Okay? That it's till death do us part. And that you can't just divorce your wife for every cause. And that women can't just leave their husband. Well, it's not a divorce, though. It's just a separation. No, you better be home in time to make dinner. If you get separated from me, honey, you better be home for dinner. You go ahead and separate from me for the afternoon and be back in time for dinner. You need a little space. You can't just leave your husband and call it separation. Show me that in the Bible. Chapter and verse. You know, but again, it's when it comes to justice and judgment, it's based on concrete rules. So you walk into a courtroom, it's not ruled by emotion. Okay? You know, can you imagine an opening argument of a prosecutor? Can you believe this guy? Can you believe this woman? Do you know what a jerk he is? And the pot he smokes? And what? It's just like, the judge is going to be like, okay, what are we talking about here? What law are we talking about? Let's get chapter and verse from the legal code. What's the ordinance? What's the statute? There's actual rules, not just, can you believe this guy? And look, it doesn't mean I'm defending what people do that's wrong. You know what? You might have the worst wife in the world, but here's the thing. You know, if you married her, she's your wife. You got to deal with her. You know, you got to make the best of your situation, and you can't, and just leaving isn't the answer. It isn't biblical. I don't believe in it, you know. And look, there are churches that believe in it. If you want to go to one of these easy divorce churches, you want to go to No Fault Baptist, then go for it. You know, or you want to go to one of these churches. There are plenty of IFB churches that will condone all of your divorces and everything like that. I'm not going to. You know, and here's the thing. I give people advice all the time. If they don't take my advice, that's okay. I love you anyway. I still pray for you. I still wish you the best. I'll give you advice. I hope you take my advice. If you don't take my advice, if you do the opposite of what I say, you know what? I still hope things work out for you. God bless you. But at the end of the day, though, I'm not going to participate in your sin. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sorry, but divorce is sin. Wives leaving their husbands, wives separating from their husbands is sin. It just is. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, yeah, you don't know anything about that situation. I don't care about that situation. I'm not talking about that situation. I'm not talking about any situation. I'm talking about every situation. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying wives just need to stay with their husbands and husbands need to stay with their wives, period. Full stop. End of story. You know, I don't need to know all the details. I don't care about the details. I don't care. It's the same advice for everyone in that sense. And so, you know, we need to get back to respecting the sanctity of marriage in this country. And if we're going to judge righteous judgment, part of that has to do with respecting the law of the land as well. And understanding that just because you did some little fake fundamental Baptist version of separation, that doesn't necessarily give you the right to demand, you know, a kid or custody. You have to go to court for that. It's called getting divorced. It's called custody battles. It's called family court, right? Sorry, the law doesn't recognize your pastor's little hypocritical, fake, quasi-pseudo divorce. He doesn't accept that. The lawman says, well, you guys married? Yeah, these are your kids? Yeah, okay, well, they're your kids then. We can't take bro's kid from him. You know, I mean, do you want the police coming and taking your kids away from you? Your biological kids that you have? No, you don't. And so this nonsense is what happens when you get away from God's standard and you even get away from the legal standard and you enter the la-la land of fake, hypocritical, fundamental Baptists who are justifying women rebelling against their husbands. And listen, I'm sorry that your husband sucks, but don't rebel against him because the Bible says obey your husband. Amen. Sorry that he's trash. You married him. You're stuck with him. And you know what? Here's the thing. A lot of women, if they're married to a trash husband, they probably will divorce him. They probably will leave him. But you know what? You can't expect the pastor or the church or anybody else to cheerlead you while you do that. And why you want to drag everybody else into that, why you want to put that out on the world wide web and start publicly putting that out and dragging everybody else into your situation and all this stuff. Folks, no, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to stand for it. You know, I don't want my people being influenced by this junk that's online of people. And they start a literal Facebook group that literally in the description here, let me read the description for you of the Facebook group. Quote, this group was created with the sole purpose of providing a space on social media where fundamental King James Bible believing Christian women can encourage and edify one another. It also serves as a place where believers who benefit from the preaching of Pastor Stephen Anderson of Faithful Word Baptist Church, as well as other like-minded preachers. So that's why this group was created. Does everybody hear that? To encourage and edify women, and so that they can fellowship with like-minded believers who've benefited from the preaching of Pastor Stephen Anderson. Last time I checked, the preaching of Pastor Stephen Anderson for the last 20 years has been let not the wife depart from her husband. Amen. Can somebody tell me in the last 20 years when I preached this separation junk? Huh? So isn't that the preaching that I've consistently done? And then they take that group and then they use it as a place to justify separation, to justify divorce, to give third-hand accusations, third-hand slander, and third-hand gossip. And I guarantee you there's probably a bunch of people in this church that are probably even members of this group. You know, but and I'm not faulting you. I'm faulting the people that have turned this group into a cesspool and a sewer of talebearing and gossip and slander. And all God's people said,
amen.
Right? I mean, is that right? Is that why I preach for 20 years and be a good influence on people so that they can all get together and say, oh, we got to pray for this guy. And then let's talk about all, let's list all his sins and let's exaggerate. Whatever. And I'm not saying, you know, that this guy is necessarily even right or wrong. That's not even the point. The point is, third hand gossip is wicked. So shut up. That's the point. And separating from your husband is just wrong, period. We actually believe that. I don't know, these other fake people don't believe that anymore. I'm sorry, but I've never taught that, and I've preached against it consistently for the last 20 years. Because here's the thing, I've seen how these little separations work. You know what? Separation is just the gateway drug to divorce, is all it is. It's just one step on the path toward divorce. That's all it is. You get used to being apart, you get used to being separate. You get all these people talking in your ear, and next thing you know, you're just divorced anyway. And look, I've had people close to me go through this, and I've been in a church where the pastor got up and told someone close to me to divorce their husband, to separate, because he's never told anyone to divorce. He told one of my relatives to separate from her husband, and I told this woman, I said, you know what? I said, I've never criticized this church to you. I've never criticized the pastor. I would never tell you to go against what the pastor says, except in this case, I am telling you the pastor is 100% wrong, and what he is saying is not biblical, and you cannot leave your husband. You must stay with your husband. And you know what? She ended up taking my advice, canceling the divorce papers, and staying married to her husband because we disregarded that stupid, foolish teaching that is so prevalent in the old IFB telling you, oh, separate from your husband because of his sins. Look, I'm sorry that you married a sinful dude. And you know, you got these girls out there, they want to marry a bad boy. And then all of a sudden, they're shocked when he's a bad boy. But at the end of the day, here's the thing. You know, you got to think about that stuff before you get married. You think about it before you get married. And then you stay married. Okay? And here's the thing. I don't have any marriage problems. My wife and I get along great. Our marriage is better than it's ever been. But here's the thing. Let's say I did have marriage problems. They're none of your business. That's my business. What's up? Is there something wrong with my mic?
Oh, thank you.
Where did I leave? Where did you stop listening? Did everybody hear all that? Here's the thing. You know what? And it's like, oh, yeah, well, I have her permission to post. You have his permission? To talk crap about him? That'd be like if I said, well, I could talk crap about Kevin because I got Lola's permission. Right? Hey, look, people's marriages, that's their business. Don't make that public. Don't publicize that. You don't put that all over the internet, all the sordid details. And you know what? I guarantee you that there are people in this room whose marriage has at some point had some sordid things and things that should not be broadcast publicly. Okay? That stuff should be kept private. You keep that stuff to yourself. Look, am I just making this stuff up or am I preaching the Bible tonight? A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. That's what the Bible says. This is Bible. Okay? You leave people's family problems to them. And look, here's the thing. When people come to you and they're getting divorced, they're going to tell you that, you know, it turns out that their spouse is a serial killer, and it turns out that they were the second gunman on the grassy knoll and everything else. You know, all the blood of all the prophets from Abel to Zacharias were shed by their ex-wife or ex-husband. You can't believe anything that these divorcees are telling you. Because they're just going to just demonize the other person. They have a motive to lie. Stay out of it. Don't believe things that you see third hand, second hand. You say, yeah, but, you know, it's a false prophet. I don't care if people are telling stories about a false prophet and there's no verification, no proof, ignore it. And don't repeat it and don't be a talebearer. You know, and again, I've brought up this example several times because it's just such a perfect example. When Sam Gipp was accused of looking at porno. Because what happened is Sam Gipp's Twitter account tweeted porn. But it's really just because bro is just a boomer and doesn't know how to use the computer and clearly just clicked on the wrong button. Like, there's no way that he's just surfing porn and accidentally tweeted. I don't believe that for one second. Now, look, I think Sam Gipp is a false prophet who's going to split hell wide open. He's a wicked false teacher, terrible false prophet. But you know what? I jumped in and defended him, and I said, hey, this is not fair. This guy clearly is an old man who just pushed the wrong button here and got hacked. Because, you know, you get all these Facebook messages, hey, is this you or whatever? And then you click on it and it just whatever. All hell breaks loose. I defended him. I publicly defended the guy. And you know what he did? I publicly defended him and said, hey, this is unsubstantiated. He clearly just pushed the wrong button. Give the guy a break. He's an old man on a computer. It's, you know. Hey, then he came out and said publicly, I think that Steven Anderson hacked my computer and made me tweet porn. I literally defended the guy. And then how did he repay my kindness? He literally came out and said, I believe that Pastor Steven Anderson, he has some really good computer guys in his church, and I believe that he did this to me. Which made no sense, because I was like literally the only person defending him. And why was I? And here's the thing. You know why I was defending him? Because I would defend anyone in that situation, because it was obvious what's going on. It wasn't enough evidence. It was clearly a case of just spam and clicking on the wrong button. It's because we've all been in situations where we get those emails, except those of us that are younger, we know that those Nigerian princes aren't real. You know, I had a certain relative of mine got this thing about how, oh, you have a package coming in the mail. Don't worry, it wasn't my wife. But, you know, oh, you have a package coming in the mail and it's lost and we just need you to enter your credit card number and then we'll get it over to you because you owe 25 cents on this package or whatever. And then this person entered their credit card number. And then I immediately told this person, hey, this is a scam. You need to shut down that card. But because guess what? Some people just, it's their first day on the internet and they just don't know how these things work. You know, so when we get a little message that says, hey, is this you? We don't click on it. You know, the Sam Gipps of this world might click on it, but you can't just turn around and just accuse him of being this creep or whatever. Does everybody see what I'm saying? Yeah. Then he turns around and says that I hacked him. And then I responded, I said, well, I think it's the Russians who hacked you. Because at the time it was like, that was the big thing in the news or something. Russian hackers or something, you know. No, I think you probably just pushed the wrong button, bro. Just delete it and move on. All right, I got to hurry up for sake of time. I hope that this sermon is helpful to you because it's a good reminder of just don't believe everything you read on the internet. Take things with a grain of salt. Always give people the benefit of the doubt. Everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Okay, and these things should be, if they're criminal, they should be adjudicated in a court of law. If it's divorce, that goes through judges and legal channels as well. I don't approve of divorce, but you know what? At least I have more respect for divorce than fake little made up separations. At least divorce, at least you're admitting what you're doing that the Lord hates, because the Lord hates divorce. The Bible, that's a quote from the Bible, by the way. The Lord, the God of Israel, hateth putting away. Putting away means divorce. That's a Bible quote. Okay, that's what I believe. I hope that this sermon is a good reminder of the fact that you should not delve into other people's family problems. You should not broadcast their dirty laundry online. You should not just take a side in someone else's marital squabble and then broadcast your views online. And you dead sure shouldn't do it in a group that was created, quote, for people who've been benefited by Pastor Steven Anderson's preaching. That's the wrong place to do it, isn't it? Proverbs 31, my butt. That's what they call that group. All right, beloved, let's continue. Go, if you would, to Psalm 101. I got to hurry. Psalm 101. How do you respond when someone comes to you with backbiting, when someone comes to you with slander, when someone comes to you with gossip? The Bible says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. So when somebody comes at you and slanders other people to you, backbites other people to you, you should get angry. The angry countenance drives away the backbiting tongue. You should stop the person. I had a guy one time come to me and tell me something about this pastor. I was listening to a pastor online. This is like 25 years ago. I'm listening to a pastor online, and a guy tells me, oh, well, you know that, you know what they say about that guy. And he told me some accusation against the guy. And I said, I don't believe you. He's just like, well, how dare you not believe me? I said, well, I don't believe you because the Bible says against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. You're one person, and you're telling me something that you heard secondhand, so you're not even a witness. And so I said, I don't just not believe you, I disbelieve you. And then I called the pastor up on the phone, and I said, hey, here's what people are saying about you. Is this true? And he said, no, that's not true. I said, good, I didn't think it was true. I was just checking with you because I didn't believe it. Because I don't believe junk that people tell me about other people without actual receipts and proof and evidence. And this guy didn't like the way that I responded, but you know what? He didn't talk crap about pastors to me again without any substantiation because I shut him down immediately. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 101, verse 3. It says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. He's saying, look, I will not suffer. I will not put up with people who slander their neighbor. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to listen to it. A froward person is going to depart from me. Verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. People come to you with slandering, backbiting, tailbearing, coming at you with all these third-hand accusations, stuff that they have no first-hand knowledge of, and then they're going to come at you with that. Well, then you know what? You should just basically tell that person to get out of your sight. That's what the Bible says. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. And then the last verse I want to give you tonight is Proverbs 17:4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. When you believe every accusation that you read on the internet, when you believe something that is for sure third hand, where the person is literally saying, I was told by her who was told by him, he told her, she told me, I'm telling you, and then you believe that stuff, you're guilty. Okay? And you say, well, what if it all turns out to be true? That's not the point. Okay? You need to not accept those things into evidence. You need to disregard that stuff and shame on people for sharing this stuff and getting involved in stuff that doesn't belong to them. You need to stay out of it. And what do I mean by that? I'm saying you don't broadcast other people's family issues. Okay? You leave that alone. And look, if you have a problem with someone, you always want to try to just take care of that with that person one-on-one. Maybe involve another person if you have to. But crashing out on the internet should always be a last resort. You know what I'm saying? Like the Bible's like one person and then two or three witnesses and then tell it to the whole church. But it's like some people just go straight to the internet crash out. Right? Where they just, you know, oh, let me tell you everything. But and okay, and here, this is for free too. You know, I've read a lot of literature about the Soviet Union. Like one of my favorite books is The Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Probably one of the greatest works of nonfiction of the 20th century. And in The Gulag Archipelago, he talks all about the secret police and the prison system in the Soviet Union. Another great book that's a lot smaller and easier to read is the book The Bridge at Andau by James Michener, which is another true story about Soviet Hungary and the things that are going on there. And, you know, you read about how they were always afraid that anyone could be a spy. Like, your next-door neighbor could be spying on you. The mailman could be spying on you. Who's read stuff like this or kind of knows what I'm talking about a little bit? How, like, you know, you don't know if the mailman's spying on you. You go to a restaurant and the waiter is a KGB spy. He might be listening to you as you talk at the restaurant or whatever. And it's a terrifying way to live your life, isn't it? Okay, well, you know what's even more terrifying? Is how about the idea that your wife and kids or husband or brothers and sisters are KGB informants on you that are logging everything about you to at a later date publicly broadcast to the world on the internet? And the Bible talks about this subject. It talks about, I believe it's the book of Micah. It's not in my notes. I believe it's the book of Micah where it's like, hey, man, be careful what you, and I'm paraphrasing, be careful what you say to your wife. Because, you know, anything you say can and will be used against you. And it's warning you, and it's where Jesus is quoting about how, you know, a man's foes will be they of his own household, and a house will be split 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. You know what? It's really sad when you can't even have privacy in your own home. And you know what's so funny? We're all worried about the smartphone listening to us. Right? Everybody's scared about their smartphone listening to them. You know what? I'm not scared about my smartphone listening to me. I'm not really that worried about it. Because you know what's even worse is when family members are logging your every transgression so that they can broadcast it to the world, exaggerate it, twist it, lie about it. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Is that what you want? Do you want the people who live with you to pay attention to all your worst moments and broadcast them to the world? Is that what you want? Is that right? Is that what we've been seeing in the Bible about covering a transgression and concealing a matter? Does the Bible say, spy on your own family, be the KGB in your own family, turn your family into the Soviet Union? Is that what it says? But here's what you have. You have people getting divorced, and what do? They start out by just, oh, let me think of every bad thing that my spouse has ever done and let me broadcast it to the world. And in fact, I'll even exaggerate it and add more and whatever. And then you know what celebrities do? They literally write a book about it, right? They get divorced and they write a tell-all book. I mean, can you imagine if like, and obviously this would never happen in a million years. What if my wife and I got divorced and then she wrote the tell-all book about Pastor Anderson? It'd be super wicked. And then I'd be like, what the heck? I've been living with a spy for the last 25 years. You know, the spy who loved me over here, you know? Folks, it's sick. And you know, we're all worried about the smartphone. No, the real problem are the human beings living in our house who don't have the decency, who don't have the discretion not to be tattlers and busybodies and talebearers. That's a bigger problem than this phone has ever been. Because you know what? I would rather have one of these smartphones attached to every wall and every ceiling of my house, which is all the permissions turned on, than to live with people who are going to take anything that they find out about me and use it against me. Worse than the KGB. Because you know what? The KGB didn't use a smartphone. They used human beings. Little creepy little spies. It's wicked. And then it's like, ooh, these people are getting divorced. Let me jump in, take a side, and help broadcast all those sins to the world. And like I said, I don't believe it. I'm not saying that it's all untrue. Maybe all of it's true. Maybe all of it's not true. Maybe some of it's true. But I'll tell you this. Some of it's for sure lies. And you know what? I'll tell you this right now. It's trash. I don't care because it's third hand. And you say, well, I don't even know the situation that you're talking about. Good. You shouldn't know about it. Delete that stupid Proverbs 31 group off your stupid phone. Delete that trash off your phone. It's run by an evil, evil slanderer who should be excommunicated from her church if her pastor had the guts to do it, She would have already been thrown out of the church repeatedly, and her evil husband, railing husband, would have been thrown out. Two, if their pastor had the guts to do it, they would already be thrown out. They should be excommunicated from any decent church. And they're running this little Proverbs 31 group for you. Delete that trash. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, help us not to be gullible, Lord. Help us not to go online and just believe things that we read and just get involved in people's family drama. Help people to keep that stuff private, Lord. I pray that everybody would just delete that stupid group, not even read those stupid posts, delete that trash, ignore that junk. And Lord God, I pray that people would have some respect for the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of their families and not go around and just expose Noah's nakedness to the whole world. Lord, I pray that people would have the decency to conceal a matter and to not broadcast everybody's shortcomings. Lord, help everybody to get busy doing the right things so that they're not a busybody in other men's matters, being a tattletale, Lord. I pray that the word that I preached in this sermon would sink into people's ears, Lord. I pray that people would understand the verses that I used and understand the illustrations that I gave and understand that this is a big problem that needs to be nipped in the bud. We need to have some respect and discretion for people's privacy and private matters. And we need to call out and expose these evil, slanderous witches. And Lord, they need to be cast out of churches until they repent and get right with you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, take your hymnals, please. Go to hymn 293, hymn number 293. Is your all on the altar? Hymn number 293. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. Let's sing it out together on that verse now. Hymn number 293.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. Oh.